ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And today is February 21st, 2019, a lovely day, a beautiful Thursday. And if you are watching the programs that are happening in the Cycle 1 Hall in Prashanthi Nilayam every evening, it is a series of gratitude programs. You have Ishrama school children, the higher secondary school children, and slowly you'll have all the college boys also offering their bouquet of songs, their short talks, their presentations, offering their heartfelt gratitude to Bhagwan for having touched them, for having given them the chance to be a Sai student, and for having filled them with something which no one else in the world can give. And in fact, one of the biggest gratitude programs that we are going to see in this year is going to happen in June 2019. Yes, I am talking about the Golden Jubilee celebrations of the Vrindavan campus 2019. The Vrindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning will complete 50 years since its inception, and this is going to be a mega celebration. In fact, there are already so many programs that are underway. I was in Vrindavan a few days ago and we had a beautiful workshop, Values and the World of Business. So you had very accomplished businessmen and people who have acquired very senior positions in business. The CFO of a company, the CEOs of various companies, they were deliberating on how relevant is values in today's times and how to internalize it, and how in today's times it has become imperative to take to this path. So this was a very beautiful workshop that was held in the Vrindavan campus for all the students. In fact, there is another one coming up in the month of March, and there is a summer course that is being organized again in the campus as part of the celebration of the Golden Jubilee of the Vrindavan campus. And you're going to have students from all over India participating in the summer course. And then in June 2019, you will have the mega celebration of the Golden Jubilee of this college, 50 years of how Bhagwan has shaped so many young minds. In fact, the Vrindavan campus is where the first men's college was set up by Bhagwan. And in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, we've been having this series, Living, Learning with Love in Vrindavan. And in this series, we have shared with you how this campus came into being. In fact, how the Vrindavan Ashram was set up by Bhagwan. And then I shared with you how the college came up, how Bhagwan chose people from different parts of the country as his students, as his faculty members, and how the different curricular, extracurricular, co-curricular activities started, and how Swami so beautifully shaped his Sri Sathya Sai system of integral education here. And then it came to Prashanthi Nilayam, and then it led to the unfurling of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning as a deemed to be university. So we'll continue this series in today's session of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. In fact, very recently I had the chance to talk to one student who has had the opportunity to belong to the first batch of students who joined the Vrindavan campus. So he joined in 1969, and he's Ramakrishnam Raju. He hails from the West Godavari district, and it was a really pleasant surprise meeting him. The way he became a student is very interesting. Sometime in 1964, his family and a few other families were on a pilgrimage to various places in South India. So they were in Tirupati, and someone told them to go to Puttaparthi, saying that there is a holy man there. So they landed in Prashanthi Nilayam, and the very first darshan session, very first time they were seeing Swami, Swami picked them up for an interview. And once they were with Bhagwan inside the interview room, Swami called this family separately, and looking at Ramakrishna Raju's mother, Swami said, "Forget the past. Whatever has happened, has happened. From this moment, I will take care of you. I will be with you." And then he went on to narrate about all the problems that the family was going through, how they had lost a lot of money in their business, how a relative had cheated them, and how there are so many people who are manipulating and causing difficulties for them to continue and live a decent life, and so on. And as Bhagwan narrated everything, it was like their life was an open book for Bhagwan. Ramakrishna Raju's mother fell at Bhagwan's feet, and Swami said, "You have been praying to God for very long. From now on, just don't worry. I am there. I will take care of every detail of your life." And his mother was so overwhelmed with Bhagwan's love that she was thinking, "What can I do? What can I do for Bhagwan?" She remembered that she had brought some sweets that she had personally made. So she offered those sweets to Bhagwan. It's called Palkova in Telugu. And she requested Bhagwan to have the sweets. So Swami touched them and says, Swami said, "I don't eat sweets," but he blessed the sweets, and Swami said, "Now you give it to others. It's consecrated." And so the mother then took these sweets and gave it to everyone in Prashantinilayam. And very amazingly, she noticed that even as she's giving the sweet is actually multiplying. She was so surprised because she was distributing and the sweet was not getting over. She took the remaining sweet and went back to her village, and even there she gave that sweet to scores of people. This was the first experience of Ramakrishna Raju's family of how when Bhagwan touches something, it becomes infinite. And from then on, Bhagwan became the center of their lives. And Ramakrishna Raju's mother started coming to Puttaparthi frequently. She used to spend almost 15 days of every month with Swami in Puttaparthi. It was like now she had found whom she had been praying for, longing for all her life, and she didn't want to lose any more moments. So she would strive to stay as much as possible in Prashantinilayam. In 1968, Ramakrishna Raju wrote his 10th grade examination, and unfortunately he could not clear in the first attempt. He had failed because of one mark, but by Swami's grace, he gave the exam and he cleared. And in his village and in the area where he was staying, there were not many good facilities for education. I'm talking about, 1960s. So Ramakrishna Raju's mother was thinking about the education of her son. And even though he somehow cleared the 10th grade, they were all an agricultural family. There was not much opportunity for him to study there. And everything that happened in their life, they would always report to Bhagwan. So after he finished his examination, they came to Whitefield. Ramakrishna Raju's mother wanted to see Swami. So they came to Vrindavan, and in those days, we know how facilities were so meager. There were only one or two hotels outside the ashram. The watchman did not allow them to come inside the ashram. There was no accommodation. So they didn't know where to go because the watchman was not allowing them to come inside the ashram. So they went to the railway station, the Whitefield railway station, which was just next to the ashram. And while they were there, the station master asked them, what were they doing there, if they need any help. And so they said that they had come for darshan, then they could not see Swami, and they are thinking of going back to the Bangalore city. And all they want is to actually have Bhagwan's darshan the next day. And the station master was very kind enough. He said, you don't have to go back to the city. Why don't both of you take rest in the upper class waiting hall in the railway station itself? So he told them to just hang on in the guest room in the railway station. And so the next morning they went to Vrindavan, and 8:30 they were there at the entrance gate of Vrindavan. And from there, from the gate, they saw that Swami was giving sweets to all the college students. Swami was distributing, And it was a very sacred day. It was Ekadashi day, and Swami was showering his grace on all the students. And even as Bhagwan was doing that, they noticed that Swami suddenly looked at the gate, and Swami noticed this mother and son, and Swami was now beckoning them. Swami, come on, come on. Swami is beckoning them. And now, of course, the watchman immediately opened the gate, and the mother and son went straight to Swami, and Swami very lovingly asked, when did you come? And they said, Swami, this is what we came last night, and we were there. Swami said, I know you are very hungry, you have not eaten. And he gave prasadam, and Swami served this boy more. Swami knew this boy loves to eat, and Swami served him more. And Swami said, you didn't have dinner last night, please eat well now. And then, this boy's mother was standing there, she saw this board, Sri Satya Sai Art, Science and Commerce College. And she said, Swami, what is this? Swami said, this is a college that I have opened. And she immediately said, Swami, why didn't you take care of my son? Swami said, yes, yes, he can join. And that is how Ramakrishnam Raju became a student of Bhagwan's college. Swami immediately told the principal, just take him. So even though, you know, he did not understand English, it was very difficult for him in the initial year because he understood only Telugu. But Swami just said, take him in. And that is how he became a student in Bhagwan's college. And even till this day, Ramakrishnam Raju, even though he is in West Godavari, he does phenomenal service activities. He's completely dedicated to Bhagwan. And every other day, his whole life has become actually a saga of service. He does not care to save anything. He feels that whatever money comes, it is completely Swami's grace and it has to be used completely for his seva. I mean, that is how Bhagwan has touched him. In fact, there are many more stories that Ramakrishna Raju shared with me, which I will narrate in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. But I have something else very interesting for this episode, and that is a lovely conversation that I had with Brother Sonam Gyamso. He joined the Vrindavan campus way back again in the 70s. And there was something called a safe room, which was an arena where Bhagwan used to spend so much time with the students. So I asked Brother Sonam to share about his olden golden Vrindavan memories. And this was, again, a very beautiful and long conversation. I'm going to share excerpts of that now with you. After a very beautiful bhajan, and this bhajan, you know, adores Bhagwan as Krishna, the same Krishna who came down as Sai Krishna and set up Vrindavan again. In this, you know, we adore Bhagwan as Kalyana Krishna. You know, you are Krishna who always does everything for the welfare of the world. And we have this beautiful line, Vrindavan ki tulasi mala pitambar dhari murari. So let's enjoy this bhajan, and then I will play for you excerpts of the conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso.
Vrindavan ki tulasi
Be my
You know, when we talk about the Vrindavan of the earlier era,
yeah,
most of the students who were part of the bungalow days of Vrindavan,
yes,
they always talk about the safe room, and very safely they cherish and treasure those beautiful moments which Bhagwan gave them through that safe room, and it's like it is their safest way to connect with Bhagwan, those safe room moments. Do you have such safe, precious moments that you can share?
Absolutely. We had too many such moments. In the first place, I must tell you that Vrindavan was, and Vrindavan is even today, a haven for seekers of love and peace. Not that Prashanti Nilayam is not that. But in Vrindavan, there was an environment very conducive for your personal growth, your joy, your happiness, even sharing. There were no formalities, no conventions that normally bind you. It was just a place where you live.
So there was hardly any sort of, you didn't feel that there is a distinction between where you live and where Bhagwan lives.
Exactly. You could just, whenever you were free, if you had a respite, you could just walk into the bungalow and then be anywhere there. You could, in fact, many of us, we used to go there for our studies. And what a wonderful opportunity to sit there in the hallowed precincts of the bungalow, which was the heart of Vrindavan, and then sit there and then do your lessons and wait for Bhagwan, because any moment the most impossible thing would become possible. He could just appear on the window or walk out of the doors. And for that, it was the most precious place on earth. And as you said, the safe room, and all of us used to feel very safe and sound. And why it was called safe room? Because my other predecessors would have, other speakers would have told you about the safe room and why it was called a safe room. Apart from the safety that we felt within his precincts, there used to be a big iron safe kept there. Swami alone knows, God alone knows what was there in that safe. But there was enough hiding place behind the safe to sit there and hide. And then I used to feel at that point in time, because I had just joined Vrindavan a few months into it, I started feeling how illogical it was to be in the institute, in the campus, and be in my class when the master, when the Lord was spending hours on end inside the safe room with devotees. And then, of course, those every moment that Swami spent with them was replete, used to be replete with so much of learning. Not only Swami gave wisdom to people, but then miracles galore that used to happen. And the safe room was a replica of the interview room, just on the other side of the interview room. And even today, when Trai Vrindavan was built later on, there was a safe room type, you know, a room where Swami spends his time very informally with his devotees when he's not giving interviews. So on the other side of the interview room is a room like the safe room. So I made it a point to hide behind that safe room and listen to and see all that would transpire in the safe room. And it was just...
Oh, so you were hiding behind the safe, in the safe room?
Yeah, inside the safe room, I used to hide, come there a little bit early, soon after breakfast, sometimes skip the breakfast, and then hide behind the safe room, just to listen to. It was definitely not eavesdropping, because for me, I had no qualms about it. My conscience was very clear that this was what I am supposed to be doing. Because my legitimate place is with Bhagwan wherever he is. It's not in the classroom sitting there in that classroom and listening to talks or listening to lectures on different subjects was definitely not my cup of tea. I used to feel that I belong to this, to where Swami is, and when Swami is spending such a beautiful time with his devotees, giving them so much wisdom, and then showing his, displaying his divine powers through miracles, I used to feel that there is a place to hide, and why not be behind the safe?
Don't miss any moment.
Yeah, that was the
absolute
idea.
It seemed like a waste of time to sit in the class and listen to lectures when Swami is here spending time with devotees and you don't know what he's doing every moment.
Exactly.
Every moment is a moment of
revelation.
Revelation. It's a moment of mystery. It's a moment of miracles.
Miracles. And in the heart of my hearts, I felt that Swami doesn't really know that I'm sitting there. Because, you know, a lot of people would tell you, seniors would tell you that Swami has a human side of him. Wherein he needs to be informed. So that is why we give him letters. We write letters and pour out all our problems in the letters.
And there are many occasions where, unless you have written the letter, Swami apparently didn't know about many things.
Yeah, he wouldn't know about it. And that is because, as I understand today, you know, that was all reflection, resound and reaction.
Yes.
Whatever I think, he becomes that.
Exactly.
So, Swami, I used to feel that Swami perhaps doesn't know that I'm hiding behind the safe. And so many escapes. I escaped so many times without Swami telling me anything. And
so you are all the time hiding,
listening
as Bhagwan is giving interviews.
Yeah.
And Swami comes to the room and
not
Swami
exactly interview. You could call it an interview, but then this was a formal gathering of special people. Special people in the sense those who are from the trust, those invitees of Bhagwan. A lot of very important foreign
devotees. So all
devotees.
These guests also cannot see you?
No, nobody can see me because I'm already in hiding now. I won't budge out from my place. And then Swami is talking to them. And after some time, silence would prevail in the room. And I would know that everyone has, because Swami would go out of the room, everyone else would also file out of the room. Then quietly I would come out of my hiding. And then after spending that one beautiful hour, in the hollow pressings, I should say, not only hallowed, of behind the safe. Then I used to go back to my campus, to the college, and attend the rest of the classes.
So you were able to see what was happening, or only hear?
No, I only hear, not see. You can't see anything. You dare not come out from there.
Oh.
But then hearing was so beautiful.
Okay.
That Swami is so expressive.
So you're sitting there, listening and imagining.
Listening and imagining. And it's so easy to imagine because, you know, you don't have intricacies in the room. The only furniture used to be just one divan on which Swami would sit. There was a side table on which Swami's silver pan box would be placed. And that pan box had its own beautiful stories. Students had the opportunity in the hostel. There was a special Swami's room department in the hostel. And one of the prime activities in that room used to be preparing the pan box.
Okay.
So different boys were given turns, chances to dice the betel leaf and then prepare the small little container that used to be filled up with a very nice, high quality lime, a pink type of lime. Later on I came to know it came from Tadpatri. And then keeping the small nuts, you know, and cutting them, dicing them, and keeping everything ready, and the loang, everything used to be put inside that, and another boy would get a chance to carry it all the way there. So that has his own story. Everything that Swami touched had a very divine story. On one of those days, I was hiding behind, and I thought the whole place had become so silent. So I thought that perhaps everyone has gone out. Swami has already gone out of the room. So I was preparing to come out of my hiding. And right at that time, Swami thrust his hand from just behind the safe where I was hiding and pulled me out of my place.
Oh my God.
And then, yeah.
So God red-handed.
Yeah. And then he said, "You think that I don't know?"
So after how many days this happened?
This happened after almost about 20, 25 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I have lost count of the days.
So at least 20, 25 days you were happily there.
Happily there, and I was undetected. Nobody bothered because
yes,
perhaps most of the lecturers, the teachers, they wanted to understand that, okay, it's legitimate for a newcomer, a fresher, to feel the place first.
Mm-hmm.
So, no one told me anything.
So, you are missing the class, but it was okay.
I was missing the first hour. It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, when Swami brought me out from there, pulled me out of my hiding, then he gave me a hiding.
Oh.
Then he said, look, you think that I don't know you were here all these days?
Oh.
I know you have been hiding here. Then I said, Swami, what is there in the school, in the college, Swami? I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in being with you, Swami. Swami said, that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you should be with me all the time.
Mm.
But then you decide whether you want to be in the college and go through your formal studies, or you want to be with me. Because with me it is mukti. And you are seeking bhukti. So decide whether you want mukti or bhukti, Swami said.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be with me all the time, then you should have that focus on me. You should have that understanding that you live only for this.
Then don't pursue anything else.
Don't pursue anything else. But if you are pursuing something else, then you better do justice to that one.
Hmm.
Don't you feel that you are doing injustice to your studies? Because your mind is there. Your heart is there. You want to pursue your studies. But at the same time, you are also feeling. And it is just an external feel. It's not a real feeling that you want mukti.
Hmm.
Because if you want to be with me, it's for mukti.
Hmm.
So be very clear about these two things, Swami said, and then you take your call.
I mean, if you have joined here as a student to study, then you better do that well. But if you are very clear that you want only mukti, then don't join the college.
Not at all. It's not necessary.
Not necessary.
It's not needed for you to go through formal education.
If you're that clear and that sorted out in your mind that this is the only thing that I want
in
life.
That's what Swami said. But more than the truth of it, I was baffled by the manner in which Swami put me on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
In the heart of my hearts, even today I feel that, imagine, what a wonderful master. What a wonderful preceptor. Not a teacher at all. What a wonderful mentor and preceptor who could, in a moment, just a fraction of a moment, put you in the right perspective, make things so clear to you that you are on the wrong track. So I said, Swami, I'll never do this again. I'll attend my college, Swami. And I never repeated that mistake again. But the place, you know, it was so beckoning. The safe room, and inside the safe room used to be another small room where Dr. Bhagwantam used to sleep. And, you know, all of us, we used to come from the back door and flock there and stand there. That used to be the Lakshman ki Rekha.
Mm-hmm.
And no one dared to step ahead of that Rekha, you know, in front of the threshold. We were all behind the threshold, standing there. And if we had anything to pray to Bhagwan, all that we needed to do was carry a flower garland. And then wait there and thrust yourself towards Bhagwan and say, show yourself to Bhagwan. And Swami would, from the other room, Swami would say, Emra, Em Samacharam.
What do you want?
What do you want?
Mm.
And then we would just hold the flower garland, and then that was only, the flower garland used to be just a medium of your expression that you need to tell something to Bhagwan. And then Swami would just call you in, and then you could just blurt out, you could pray, you could say anything to Bhagwan. So those were the moments, those were the opportunities that this safe room provided for us, a sanctuary for all of us to sit there, to stand there and be with Bhagwan all the time.
When you reflect on this bhukti versus mukti incident now, many years later, what learnings has it given you? And whenever you think about it, how do you feel about that moment?
For me, as age matures you, and that is what is happening to me, I can feel myself aging every moment. But Swami has taught us to do that with lot of dignity. The dignity of the truth that the moment tells you that you are aging, you have reached this age. And that maturity, you just supplicate yourself to that maturity, that mature thinking. And today, mukti and bhukti means completely different things to me. Dimensions have changed.
In fact, that time you were so young, isn't it?
So young.
Maybe, perhaps, you know, you had just heard these words.
Yeah. For me at that time, mukti was being just with Bhagwan. And bhukti was just going to the college and doing the worldly things. So we lived in two different worlds. Our perceptions were one of a worldly world and then a heavenly world. But in both ways, we were in this world and meshed in this world. And then those were the times when being with Bhagwan itself was the ultimate heaven. And that too, as a poet has said so beautifully, that it was heaven that day, and it was more heaven because I was young. You know,
yes.
To enjoy heaven when you are young is a yes. completely different concept by
absolutely,
itself.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, now bhukti and mukti have different wider dimensions. I know what is bhukti. And all that goes with bhukti. And in fact, everything that we do is as bhuktas. But Swami wants us to become Jivan Muktas. And being a Jivan Mukta is a completely different concept. You don't die to attain liberation.
Yes.
You attain liberation even as you are living.
Yes.
So instead of being a living dead,
You
are the very embodiment of a living life, a thriving life.
Yes.
You are celebrating life every moment. So starting right from there to the ultimate merger in God.
Every moment is a liberating moment for you.
Every moment is a liberating moment. So, mukti has those dimensions now. And what a manner to plant those thoughts in you.
Yes, yes.
To plant the seeds of those thoughts in you. So that one day it would, you know, it would mature, it would really...
One incident which you can keep thinking about.
Yeah.
And it's enough for your life.
Enough for your life.
And the way he put you onto that path.
Exactly.
Amazing.
There were so many occasions when, you know, I used to wonder, only God can speak like this, only God can give the very etymology of, you know, Krishna as not only Karsha, but Krishi also.
Mm-hmm.
So he says that Krishna is a farmer.
Yes, he cultivates the heart.
Who cultivates the heart. And Sai is the ultimate farmer.
Mm.
Because he knows what seeds to sow and the right moment to sow the seed. And then he knows how to take care of the seed when it germinates and then, you know, it grows into a plant and a tree and it matures. So he doesn't leave us at all. He doesn't leave us alone anytime, any moment. He's all the time with us. So these are the moments, these are the beautiful thoughts that come to me in retrospect when I think of those moments.
So let's go back to those days and let's go back to those times. I think those were very, very revealing days for you also, isn't it? I mean, knowing Bhagwan, knowing how to establish that connect with Bhagwan, knowing the preciousness of the chance that you are getting with Bhagwan.
Absolutely. Those were the moments I feel when Swami was introducing himself to us. The Lord of the universe introducing himself to us, making us easy to take small bites.
And to each one, he was doing it differently.
Yeah, and for each one, in a different manner, each one of us, every one of us, we had our own entry points, different experiences that we went through. And the ultimate reason why he was doing all this was to introduce divinity to you. That divinity is not something apart from you. To tell us, to make us understand, drive home the point that you are divine. So, in small little measures, he was doing that. And then he knew, as the eternal farmer, when we would germinate, when the thoughts would germinate, when the seeds would germinate into huge plants and blossom out. He knew it. So he was doing it with that complete confidence. And Swami would tell us so many times, without self-confidence, you achieve nothing. And you derive self-confidence only through sadhana.
Yes.
And then if you can go beyond that, you don't even need to do sadhana. Just by surrender, you get self-confidence. Because when you are yourself, you are confident. When you are not yourself, you are not at all confident. So with whatever you do with diffidence, it makes you unhappy. Whatever you do with confidence gives you satisfaction, that quantum of satisfaction, that joy of satisfaction. So, I had those beautiful moments. I can share one or two with you.
Sure, please, go on.
I don't know where to start, where to begin, where to end. Vrindavan, as you know, was a common ground where people from all different walks of life, like in Prashanti Nilayam, but in Vrindavan, the atmosphere would be a little bit freer, you know, because not bound by conventions. You could be anywhere, you could sit anywhere, and there used to be that beautiful statue of Krishna standing underneath the Sai Ram tree. The Sai Ram tree alone was standing there for hundreds of years. That's what Swami revealed. Once in a while, Swami would very lovingly say, thousands of years, this tree has been standing here. It's like a rishi standing and waiting for my darshan. And there used to be beautiful moments when Swami would call any one of these devotees and call them inside and make them speak. And sometimes there would be devotees whom Swami would pick. The moment he would go to give darshan, he would pick them up and send them for interview. And one such person, I still remember, is etched in my memory. You know, this man was a devotee from Russia, a huge, burly-looking man. And every day, the routine, as long as he stayed in Vrindavan, was that Swami would go there and this man would just stand up, rise up and walk towards the interview room, to walk towards the bungalow. And one day, we were very closely watching, you know, there used to be those small holes on the wall, not exactly holes, but beehives, from where we would be all the time peeping and seeing how Swami would be giving darshan on the grounds, on the other side.
You were part of Swami's residence, basically.
We were part of Swami's residence. Mm. So, on the compound wall, there used to be so many tiny pigeon holes and probably left for that, for us to peep through. And this man would just rise up and walk. And one day as he was walking, he started pursuing a butterfly. The butterfly was just preceding him, almost like guiding him, flying in front of him. And then as the butterfly wafted, or whatever you say, it flew in front of him. He was mesmerized, seemingly mesmerized by the beauty of the butterfly. Ultimately, the small insect sat on the floor. And this huge man, he was all on fours on the floor, almost sprawled on the ground, and enjoying this butterfly. And then he was beside himself with so much of joy and ecstasy. So, seeing that itself was a big introduction to me. You don't need to know more about a person. See when a person's attitude.
So, he was waiting for Swami?
No, he was walking towards the bungalow for the interview.
But he was so enamored by the butterfly.
Enamored by the butterfly that he stopped himself there and midway, and then just before the gate, and then Sivadals had to inform him that, come on, your place is there. You are supposed to go for interview. And then he got up and said, okay. And then he walked inside. So on one of the evenings, you know, one of the most beautiful attractions of Vrindavan, even as the tradition continued in the later days of Treyi sessions, we used to have the Vrindavan bhajan session in the evening, wherein anything could happen.
So inside the bungalow?
Inside the bungalow. So right, the first room itself was a vestibule, where Swami used to be a chair, just a very simple swivel chair, on which Swami would sit, and the chair would turn into a veritable throne, a regal throne, because the master was sitting on it. And then he would just sway here and there, and then play a small talam during the bhajan sessions. But then he would organize, he would spring lot of wonders in the evening, lot of surprises in the evening. He would ask any person to sing or speak or enact or do anything, or sometimes he would speak. And sometimes there would be somebody speaking to us or singing to us. One evening, Swami called this fat gentleman from Russia. So Swami asked him to speak. And then he said, oh Swami, you asked me to come this time and I came. This is my first time I have come. And I don't know whether I'll be coming again. You know, Swami. But back there in my place, I don't even know the village or the town or the city that he came from. But back there in my place, whenever I close my eyes and then look at the inner heart, you open the heart, the door of my heart, and you step out of my heart and stand right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami was telling him, tell them what type of dress I wear.
When I step out of your heart.
Yeah, when I step out of your heart, mm-hmm. what color dress? Swami asked. So he said, Swami, orange. Swami, all the time orange. You are in orange glory.
Mm-hmm.
And you step out of my heart, just like I see you here.
Mm-hmm.
I see you there also.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami was telling us, frogs, all of you listen. You are like kappas, you are like frogs in the well. You listen to this man speak. So that type of treat Swami would give us. It was not enough that Swami was telling us about that, because Swami would never say, I am divine, you worship me.
Mm.
I never heard Swami say that. But then Swami would ask somebody like him, a self-realized soul like him, to speak it out, because he was a rishi. From anywhere in this world, rishis live. And this rishi was made to speak to us, tell us, so that, you know, we would be devoted to Bhagwan more. So that it would increase our devotion towards Bhagwan. So those things would happen in the bungalow. And right near the safe room, next to the safe room was this vestibule where these dramas, these beautiful divine acts were enacted by Bhagwan.
I think day in and day out, every day, as you said, was a surprise. You don't know who is going to come.
Exactly.
And what Leela is going to...
In fact, one evening, Pandit Jasrajji came.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we had heard Pandit Jasrajji so many times in tapes. And when Panditji himself in person was sitting next to us, sitting with us, and Swami asked him to sing, imagine the ecstasy and joy. And I have experienced this so many times, Vishu, whenever these wonderful maestros would come and perform, be it Pandit V.J. Jog or M.S. Subbalakshmi Garu or anybody, any one of these maestros, these doyens of Indian classical music, whenever they performed, I always felt that the atmosphere changed. I always felt the atmosphere change in the room, in the hall, because of the intensity of their devotion to Bhagwan, the intensity of the prayer and the rendition, and the way Swami would reciprocate to them, probably a huge aura, a huge energy field would have been created there. And we were all enveloped in that energy field, and the feel used to be completely different. So when Pandit Jasrajji performed, I still remember he sang Rag Soni and Rag Yaman, and some dhoon, one kirtan he sang. And then after that, Swami asked us to sing bhajans, and we also sang bhajan. And whenever these big VIPs would come, Swami would invariably tell us to sing Allahu Akbar, or these were our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So after the bhajan, after Swami had taken Mangal Aarti, accepted Mangal Aarti and gone back upstairs, as we were coming out, somebody told me that Panditji is looking for you. So I went hurriedly, I in fact rushed to Panditji, and then Panditji said, Beta, tumhari awaaz bahut achhi hai. Your voice is very good. You have got a very good texture, and I would like to train you up.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe my ears. Panditji telling me, it was a dream come true.
I mean, yeah. Who would not want to be his disciple?
Panditji, and he said, I will make you my disciple.
Wow.
I am teaching Sanjeev. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who was Sanjeev. Later on, I came to know he was maybe Pandit Sanjeev Abhayankar now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll train you also. And he said, I won't differentiate between you and any of my old students. I will treat you very well and teach you. Come to Pune.
Mm-hmm.
The moment he said that, I started dreaming about becoming getting under his tutelage in his ashram. So,
and pursuing music as your career.
And pursuing music as my career. So the next day itself, I wrote a long letter to Bhagwan.
You were in your graduation.
I was at that time, right, yeah, my first year degree, first year of my graduation. And I told Swami that in the letter, Swami, I want to go and learn music. And then Swami called me in the evening and said, you want to go and learn music? You want to leave me and go? So I was flustered completely, because it never occurred to me that to go there, I would have to leave Vrindavan and go.
So you wrote a letter?
I had written a letter. So Swami was responding to that letter, and Swami was telling that you want to leave me and go to learn music.
So the letter you gave the next day?
No. In the morning I gave the letter. In the evening Swami responded.
Okay. So after this happened, after Pandit Jasraj called you and told you, so the next day you gave the letter.
Yeah, the next day in the morning I gave the letter. In fact, I was waiting for the night to end so that I could give the letter to Bhagwan.
Oh, okay.
And those were the letter writing days, you know.
Mm.
I can also tell you about the non-letter writing days, you know, where I really enjoyed, but I had to wait through tough times.
Mm.
But then when he said, you want to leave me and go, I said a very stupid thing. It was plain rhetoric. Normally we resort to those. I said, Swami, you are everywhere. How can I leave you and go? Oh. Swami said, do you feel me everywhere?
Mm.
And I was nonplussed again. Because I actually don't feel him everywhere.
Just say it.
Yeah, we are saying it for the sake of saying it.
Mm.
Then I said, Swami, I just want to go and learn music. That's it. Swami said, why do you want to learn music? Tell me that. Give me a good reply and I'll let you go.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was looking for words. Because in the heart of your hearts, you really don't know why do you want to do certain things in life.
You think you know something.
Yeah, like a lot of people want to earn a lot of money. But they really don't know why do they want to earn so much money.
Mm.
Which anyway they cannot enjoy.
Mm.
So I said, Swami, to please you. I said another stupid thing that evening.
Mm.
Swami, just to please you. Swami said, I am already pleased with you.
I am already pleased.
Swami said, then he said, I am pleased with your singing. What else?
I am pleased with your singing. He's already saying that.
He said that. And what else? Then I had nothing to say but to just sit there and cry miserably. Not because I was not allowed to go, but because of the compassion of the master. That having defied him, having said that I'll leave you and go.
So that hit you at that moment?
Yes, it hit me straight away. As it hits me even now when I, every time I recount that moment, it's a very difficult moment for me. So I said, I defied the master and said that I'll leave you and go. And I was pursuing, I was chasing nothing. Just a will-o'-the-wisp, you know, nothing. And then Swami said, you won't get this opportunity again. Don't leave.
Wow.
Don't leave and go. Stay back, Swami said.
I mean, that is your greatest, I would say, blessing that the Lord granted. Because there are so many people who wanted to go and Swami let them go. But Swami told you, no, be here.
And even on the face of it, Vishu, you know that I didn't deserve to be given that second opportunity. I deserve nothing. Because I defied him. I said, I want to leave you and go. I'm looking at it purely from a very physical, you know, stance also, if you look at it. You are very ungrateful. Just because you want all that pomp and show, you want to steal the thunder one day by singing with all these technicalities and ups and downs, you want to leave the master and go. And you are unable to feel the joy of singing in his presence. I had another opportunity at a much later time when Swami told me about the joy of singing in his presence. When he said that your song should have the strength to pull me in your presence. Then you are in my presence, Swami said.
Wow.
Your song, your bhajan that you offer, unless it is offered with that ultimate sense of supplication and surrender, it won't have the power to pull me to you. So I had this beautiful experience one day in much later. I hope I'm not mixing up things, but you know, I'm trying to put two experiences together. I was here in Prashanti Nilayam get into my post-graduation. And I had thought in a very stupid way again. I had stumbled upon a beautiful tune that I thought was a nice bhajan. And those were moments when, in fact, we were expected by Bhagwan to introduce new bhajans almost every day. So this bhajan, which S. Ravi Kumarji, last time I heard him sing, S. Ravi Kumar sings so beautifully, he sings like an angel. This song was Pannaga Shayana Kali Avatara. So I had composed this bhajan, and as I was rehearsing this bhajan, I felt a little bit ashamed of myself, because, you know, the bhajan was not one of those, it was a little bit out of place, I felt, the song was really not good enough to be presented to Bhagwan, but I was already committed to sing this new composition that day. And then, unfortunately for me, I was given the third number. And by the third number, Swami was still inside the interview room giving interviews. And then he didn't come out. So perforce, I had to sing this bhajan. So that moment, I felt that, Swami, why don't you come out? Because I'm introducing this new bhajan. It's a new bhajan being introduced and you are not sitting here to give the ultimate stamp of your approval to this bhajan. You should accept this bhajan. You know, it's a pure Dvaitavad thing going on. And as I prayed, he didn't come out, so I sang the bhajan and it was a very lukewarm treatment to it because of my feeling. I was feeling so low and remorse and feeling so bad about it that Swami didn't listen to it. And then after the bhajan, I put down my head and I was walking out of the bhajan hall. And then Lakshminarayan Koteji, who was on duty with Bhagwan inside, he just had time to get out and come and embrace me and say that, today Swami enjoyed your bhajan so much.
Oh, Swami was inside.
What do you mean?
Hmm.
So he said, as you started the bhajan, Swami had just got up from his divine chair to walk out of the interview room. And the moment you started the bhajan, he retraced back his steps, sat down once again on the chair, and throughout the bhajan, he kept pace, the beat of the bhajan, the tempo of the bhajan, and he listened to the entire bhajan. And it is such a nice bhajan, he told me.
Wow.
And that day I understood, I got this wealth of, again, you know, message from Bhagwan, that you think, we think, that the Lord doesn't listen. But the Master is all the time, every moment of every time, listening to us.
We have to be humble, we have to be sincere.
Sincere, and we have to crave for it.
Yes.
Because he didn't come out, I craved for him.
Mm.
And because I craved for him, he listened to it. And ultimately all that, again, boils down to his will.
Yes, absolutely.
Because when he wills, without his will, nothing happens.
And I think you would have experienced this in Vrindavan also, when someone craves for Bhagwan.
Yes.
When someone is willing to sacrifice anything for Bhagwan. You know, when you have that intensity.
Yes.
Of yearning.
Yes.
Then you see Bhagwan's response also, isn't it?
See, I can just share one experience with you. You know, it so happened, I believe, because when I joined, these things had already happened. So I had missed all these beautiful opportunities. But then, the Vrindavan that I joined was also no less than, no different from what it was a few years back, you know. One of my seniors, but then at that point in time, a very junior boy. Now this involves that boy. I don't know whether his name was Jivraj or whatever his name was, but I heard it from the horse's mouth in the sense that everyone, the whole place was agog with this beautiful incident that had happened in Vrindavan. One of the days, Swami said, I'm really upset with you people, your demeanor, and I don't like it. So you are not listening to me. So I'll just leave you and go. And those days, you know, Swami spent 9 months in a year in Vrindavan, 3 months alone in Puttaparthi. So when the master would say, I'll leave you and go, it would shatter everyone. Because we were so used to living with Bhagwan, that to imagine not living with Bhagwan itself was a punishment.
Man, you feel so empty, you feel there's no reason to leave.
There is no reason why he should leave you. And when this happened, Swami commanded that everything should be packed and got ready, and then Swami would get into his car and go. So as he walked down the stairway, you know, that narrow stairway of old Vrindavan bungalow, this particular boy, he stood near the entrance, near the, you know, near the stairway, and he blocked Swami's passage.
Mm-hmm.
He just spread one of his arms on the other side of the wall and completely stopped Swami from coming out from there. So Swami said, make way for me. Like in Hindi, he would say,
to the end of the staircase.
Yeah, end of the staircase.
So he's not telling Swami to come out of the
staircase mm-hmm. and step out from there into the vestibule.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, Jagadeo.
Yeah, give space, move.
Give space, move.
Mm-hmm.
And then this boy, he faced Swami and said, Swami, you are leaving us in this condition, in this state, and then you want to go? Is this your compassion? Love of 1,000 mothers, you say? And you want to leave us in this bad mental state, in this sorry state? We have committed mistakes, but give us this opportunity for redemption. give us this opportunity to correct ourselves. Swami, we won't fall into those bad ways again. But you cannot leave us like this and go. Impossible. And then he was crying profusely, and he had turned his face towards the devotees on the other side, the trust members and all those VIP devotees on the other side. I shouldn't be calling VIPs, but then, you know, the senior devotees on the other side. And he stopped looking at Swami, and Swami was telling again and again, make way, I have to go. And he stopped talking to Swami. He stopped addressing Swami. He was only crying. That was the only way he was addressing
means
Bhagwan.
There is no option for Bhagwan. No negotiation, nothing.
No negotiation. He was sobbing miserably. His whole body was heaving with his sobs, with his tears. And with his tear-stained eyes, he's looking at the devotees on the other side. And that's it. And then Swami said, he's mad. He's not allowing me to go. And then he went back.
Swami went back?
Stairway. He went back upstairs. And then he said, unpack.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In the evening, when we had the session was there, the Vrindavan session. So Professor Kasturi, I believe, asked Swami for the welfare of everyone who was sitting there for their information. He wanted this to come from Swami himself directly. So he said, Swami, in the morning you were in a hurry to go, but then you retraced back your steps and you stayed back. What prompted you to stay back, Swami? Swami said, you wanted me to go, is it? You wanted me to go? Then Swami said, this boy, he cried so much that he stopped me from going.
Wow.
Then Swami said, do you know what he did today? He was determined to sacrifice himself. He knew the result, the end result of stopping me the way he did. He knew there would be disciplinary action against him. I might even push him out of the campus. But he was ready to sacrifice himself for the sake of all his brothers who were going through the same torment. For their sake, he was ready to give himself up completely. Sacrifice himself.
Doesn't matter if I lose the chance, doesn't matter if I'm checked out, but at least everyone else will enjoy.
Exactly. Let everyone have Swami. I'll go out. Doesn't matter. So that Swami said, that spirit of sacrifice is what I want from my devotees. If you have that spirit of sacrifice, it equals all huge, huge, huge tapasyas that you do. It's much larger than that. You don't need to do anything else. You only need that sacrifice.
If you can be willing to give up anything, give up even yourself for the sake of others.
For the sake of others. You live for others. So that was again another beautiful opportunity inspired by that place where the Lord lived with us, making us feel that this is Vrindavan, verily Vrindavan.
I mean, every day was a moment of learning, and I think every day was a very, very inspired day.
Very inspired day.
And you are also surrounded with people who are very inspired beings. Every soul was, you know, being transformed every day into an inspired personality.
Every soul, every sentient, insentient beings, I would say every deer in the cage, every being here in the vicinity, they were all inspired by him. The Swami would just enter there in the cage and say, "Wah!" And all the deer would run towards him, flock around him like we flocked around Swami. It was their turn to flock around Swami. We have never seen this happen anywhere.
Wow. And I think sometime you should definitely share about all those beautiful souls whom Swami had brought from various parts of India to live with the boys. Because even as Swami taught through his own life and example, there were all these other people also who were great exemplars of his message. Definitely. And you not only saw Bhagwan, you saw these devotees living that message. And that whole package was something that you can only be touched and transformed.
Exactly, exactly. All these paragons of virtues. And all the virtues given by the master.
Amazing. You should also definitely talk about the transformation of the old bungalow into Trai Vrindavan.
Yes, definitely. That's a huge, beautiful story I would like to share next time.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there is so much more in this series, and we pray to Bhagwan that he makes it happen that you come to Prashantinilam often and share with us these stories, and we are in a position to go back into those golden moments, those moments which were the moments which established the connection between Swami and students, actually. I think those were the years that sort of gave shape to this relationship that now we call Prema Bandham, but that was the time when this came into the world as a gift, actually.
Exactly. The foundations were laid then.
Then.
Of a lasting, everlasting Prema Bandham.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Swami.
So that was Brother Sonam Gyamsosh going back in time to his lovely memories of being with Bhagwan in Vrindavan. And we will continue this series. There are so many such fantastic stories of boys having their connection, having their regeneration, having their life's most celebrated moments with Bhagwan in Vrindavan. So we'll continue this series in the coming episodes till June 2019, till the June of this year, when we have the beautiful mega celebration of the Golden Jubilee anniversary of the Vrindavan campus. Thank you so much for being with us through this program. As always, please feel free to write to us if you have any queries or comments. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also WhatsApp us. Our WhatsApp number is 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.